This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, right here, Top FM Listen and Live. How are you doing? My name is Grace Motisa. It's a beautiful morning, and I invite you to join us as we proceed on with the discussion we began regarding perspectives of leadership, and that entails how do you perceive leadership, because the perception you have will determine how you will lead. And remember, we said it's not only in the corporate, but also in the church circles and in your small leadership platform, which is your home. So engage with us. Our SMS line is 20933. Our WhatsApp platform is 0717-400-555. And we will be glad to hear from you as we engage. So if you're joining us right now, there are around four other sessions we've done before. You can get to the Hope FM podcast and search for Perspectives of Leadership. We talked about Theory X, Go Learn. What is that about? Theory Y, Transactional and Transformational. So those are what you've been able to tackle. Please ensure you engage with those ones so that you can enjoy today's discussion. But you're not saying you switch off, you go. No. Listen to what we have prepared for you today, and then at your own free time, you can catch up with those other sessions. So allow me to bring Bishop Oginde to us this morning. Good morning, Bishop.
Morning.
You've been well?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah.
Karibu sana.
By God's grace, asante. Yeah, na wewe pia.
Niko poa.
Very good.
Nyumbani wako wazima?
Kazini. Yes, we are doing well.
Asante.
By God's grace. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome as we pick up this discussion. It's been very interesting. And I've met a few people who decide not to ask questions directly to our SMS line. I don't know why, but they choose to ask me to ask Bishop.
Well, if they have access to you, then why should they send SMS?
No. Studio line.
Oh.
Yeah.
But so what are they asking?
The feedback has been great that the ones I've met, they are really learning, and it's challenging how they view leadership and how they are practicing it. So the feedback is very positive, and they're appreciating what you're doing, which is a good thing. That means tuko sawa.
Good.
We're impacting. Good. Yeah.
We are glad.
So the question that one of the persons I met asked is, can one have different perspectives as they are leading? Or different perceptions, the ones you've talked about, the four, Theory X, Theory Y, Transactional and Transformational. Can one leader have a mixture of those?
Yes, one can, because you see, our lives and our thinking is not so clear cut, so that it is clean, that this is how you see leadership and that's it. Because our perceptions, our worldviews, are shaped by several factors. One of them is the environment within which either we have grown up or we have experienced leadership. And so you may find that because you have been in many different contexts and watched various leaders practice leadership, there are things that you pick, both good and bad, that shape your thinking and perception of leadership.
Yes.
So it's we cannot say therefore that there are those people who are strictly think about leadership from a Y perspective or from an X perspective or from a transformational or from a transactional perspective.
Yes.
So you'll find that having experienced leadership yourself in different contexts, there are things that then you capture or gather along the way, and they kind of shape how you do leadership. So what we have tried to do here is now pick that mix and try to sift it,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
So that we tell you that this may fall in this category. And therefore, you can see how you can reorganize your thinking, reorganize your perception, and come up with a way of looking at leadership that then makes you an effective leader. So the short answer is that, yes, you can have a mix of not just two, but yes, even several, because of the influences that you have gone through.
Yes.
But one needs to, out of that, pick out what is it that can make for a good leader. So when you hear, for example, we talk about a transformational perspective, and you understand how it operates and how it views leadership, you may find that, I think that's what I want to do.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And the reason that we are sharing this is that there will be some shifts,
yes,
among our listeners and ourselves.
Very true, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that if you have been looking at leadership from a very negative or from a way that does not empower or enrich you and the people you lead, hopefully you can pick something from this and reshape your thinking, recalibrate your leadership.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
It is the purpose for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop, for that. Please, listeners, you can engage with us for any question or comments. Our WhatsApp line is 0717 400 555. Okay. So where do we pick it up from today, Bishop?
Today, we want to look at another perspective of leadership that is particularly advanced by Jesus Christ. Mm. In the book of Mark, Jesus, James and John actually come to Jesus and they ask him whether they can sit one on his left and the one on his right. Basically, they were looking for positions of authority and of power.
Yes.
And Jesus uses, as he usually did, uses that opportunity to disabuse them of that view of leadership. So he says, in the world, that's how it happens.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. those who are in leadership, they lord it over other people. They sit on the center and sit on the right and sit on the left.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they lord it over people. Mm. But it is not so for you. And he goes ahead to say that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Yes.
So he tells them that the greatest among you should be a servant. So that's a very different perspective of leadership.
Yes.
Where Jesus is saying, if you're a leader, it is not a matter of you sitting on the left and on the right, sitting at the table, at the high table.
Mm-mm.
It is a matter of you going down to the trenches.
Yes.
To serve the people.
Yes.
To help them
mm.
in their need. So it was a totally different perspective to leadership. And we see it on the last day of his time with his disciples in John chapter 13, where they are eating the Last Supper, what is called the Last Supper.
Yes.
And the Bible says that after supper, he stood up from the table, took a towel, and began to wash the disciples'
feet.
And again, he tells them, because I have done this for you, mm-hmm. you also need to go and do it for those people that you lead.
Yes.
So this approach, perspective, view of leadership, as at that time and even today, it was a totally different way of looking at leadership. Because leadership in our context And even in that context that Jesus, more particularly in the context that Jesus was talking about, because it was during the days of monarchy, during the days where there were kings.
Yes.
And kings were kings, you know. And it was expected, therefore, that the people that they lead serve. It was natural to serve them and to expect that those people serve them. And people had no difficulty serving them because that is how leadership was done. So Jesus comes with this very different idea that leadership is not about being served. Leadership is about serving others.
Mm.
So this is what we then call the servant perspective to leadership.
Mm.
The servant perspective to leadership has more recently now entered into leadership studies as a very new concept, even though
been here for over 2,000 years.
It has been around for over 2,000 years. Yes. So you hear people talk about servant leadership.
Yes.
Now, it was propagated and conceptualized in quote by one Robert Greenleaf. Robert Greenleaf, back in 1970s, came up with this concept of servant leadership. And it was a very different way of looking at leadership, particularly at that time. But it has grown to the extent that now you hear many, many people talking about servant leadership in a political arena, in businesses, in the corporate world, and so on. And it is attributed to Robert Greenleaf, who came up. And he really expounded the whole concept of servant leadership or leadership as service in a very elaborate manner. And I think that's why many people attribute servant perspective to leadership to Robert Greenleaf. But as I've said, it was actually first brought up and demonstrated by Jesus Christ in the Bible as he served and led his people. So servant leadership, now as conceptualized and packaged, because Jesus simply demonstrated it and talked about it. But he was not like a scholar that now tells you these are the components of servant leadership. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
But as it has now been studied by scholars, leadership scholars, it has been packaged and various components identified that then make what this perspective to leadership is all about. And that's what we want to just share briefly today, so that we see what does that kind of perspective look like in real practice. So for servant leaders or people who view leadership as service for those people that they lead, that's what servant leadership is about.
Yes.
It is viewing leadership as service to the people that you lead. Yes. So various components are identified, and we will be looking at them in a short while. But what we want to first start with is, how then does a person who views leadership as service, what is their perception? How do they see leadership? The first, as I said, is that leadership is viewed as service and not as status. The servant leader view themselves first as one who is there to serve.
Yes.
And only that service makes them a leader.
Yes.
So it is in serving that they become leaders.
Mm.
It is not in leading that they become servants.
Yes.
you see the difference?
Yes.
Yeah. So Simon Sinek, who has also spoken a bit on this, says leadership is not about being in charge, but about taking care of those you are in charge of. Leadership is about taking care of those people you are in charge of.
Yeah.
That is so significant because many of us as leaders do not see ourselves as serving people. I know the word servant leadership is on the lips of everybody. You know me, I'm a servant leader.
And you can see.
Yes, we are servant leaders, we you know.
Mm.
But that is just like what I call values on the wall.
Yes.
So we hang it at our door. Here we are servant leaders.
Mm.
But when you look at the practice,
yes,
that's when you know that there is no servant leadership here.
Yes.
This person may have an X perspective to leadership, and yet they are calling them servant leaders. So it is in serving others that you become a leader. The second thing about servant leadership, the people view leadership as an opportunity or a responsibility to empower others. So rather than therefore using control,
yes,
and controlling people and manipulating and using people, they see that opportunity to influence an individual for their benefit, for the benefit of the person that they lead. So if I am your leader, I see my leadership as uplifting you,
yes,
to be a better person.
Mm.
Maybe I could pause at this point to mention that servant leadership formed the foundation for transformational leadership.
It is
out of the servant leadership,
yes,
that transformational leadership is built.
Yes.
Okay. So you'll find that several components of servant leadership are also found in transformational leadership.
Yes.
So like empowering individuals or members is part of that perception or perspective to leadership. So leadership, therefore, is viewed as an opportunity to let others grow. To help people grow. And you see it in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
The people that he walked with and worked with, majority of them were very ordinary people. Fishermen,
yes,
tax collectors, you know, people who are not high up in society.
Yes.
In Kenya, we would call them the hustlers.
Mama mboga.
Boda. I can see you know that language. So this ordinary,
yes,
hustlers,
yes,
you see them as people you want to lift
them
up.
Yeah.
You want to lift them up.
Mm.
So that is again an intersection between the servant perspective and the transformational perspective.
True.
Because you want to help these people to be better than you found them.
Yes.
To be more equipped than when you met them. So the idea is, how then do I help this person? Now, this, like we said, like Sinek actually points out, it is in the service that you become a leader. So you'll find that servant leadership or a servant perspective to leadership is not that there's an opportunity for leadership and therefore I take that leadership and then practice servant leadership.
Mm-mm.
You see?
No.
So it is not that there's an opportunity to be CEO, and therefore I apply to be a CEO. And then once I get the position of CEO, then now I practice servant leadership.
No,
that is not how it works.
Yes.
Servant leadership is that I see a need,
yes,
around me, of the people that are around me, and I step out to serve them,
yes,
to help them, mm-hmm, to empower them. And in that process is that they make me a leader.
Mm.
Do you see?
Yes.
I become a leader, mm, because I have been in the trenches with the mama mboga.
Yeah.
What did you call them?
Nimekuwa na wana boda boda.
Yes.
Na wamitumba na viatu.
Na viatu.
Na tumefanya kazi pamoja.
So it is in that attempt to help people, empower people, that I become a leader.
Yes.
So my leadership rises out of the service for the people.
Yeah.
Jesus did not come and declare himself a leader of any kind.
Mm.
But as he went around, as the Bible says, doing good.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
In Acts chapter, I forget the verse. So in the doing good, you find people following him.
Yes.
And they're the ones who now begin to call him good teacher. Mm. They call him master. Mm. They call him, you know.
Mm.
And he keeps saying, no, I'm not master. I'm not, why are you calling me good? Mm. Why? So he's like, he's resisting to be made a leader.
Mm.
In fact, ultimately, they wanted to crown him king.
Yes.
And he refused, you know. So he was not looking for a position where he could exercise servant leadership.
Mm.
He was exercising service that made him a leader. That is the big difference between servant perspective to leadership compared to other leadership. It is not status, it is not position, it is service.
Mm.
So you see people around you who are in need, you begin to serve them, and they naturally want to make you their leader.
Yes.
Yes. And sometimes to your against your own desire. So empowering people, helping people grow. The other perspective that we see here is stewardship. The people who sees leadership as service and therefore have this servant perception to leadership, they see also leadership as stewardship.
Yes.
Now, maybe we should unpack the word stewardship.
Mm.
Stewardship is the right use of resources that have been entrusted to you. That's what stewardship is about. The right use of resources that have been entrusted to you.
Mm. And this includes also not only money, because that's the first thing that comes to mind. But
resources includes human resources.
Yes. All resources
that have entrusted to you, whatever it is.
Yes.
A steward is a person who is taking care of whatever it is that you have been entrusted. It could be a business that has been entrusted to you,
accounting,
to take care of.
Mm.
It could be people that have been entrusted to you to take care of. It could be money that have been entrusted to you to take care of. Basically, a steward is a person who is taking care of resources that are not theirs.
Mm.
These resources are not yours.
Yes.
So you are taking care of them on behalf of somebody else. So in servant leadership, the leader views, or rather the person, the individual, views whatever is entrusted to them and treats them as a steward. I'm going to give an account.
Yes.
One of these days.
Yes.
To whoever it is.
Mm.
So if I've been entrusted with people, I'm going to give an account of how did I handle these people.
Yes.
And Jesus talks about it, of this man who went on a long trip, and he left a manager in charge of his house to give them food at the right time, to give their veggies at the right time, and also to make sure that they do their work.
Mm.
So this man, while the master had gone, he started beating people up. And when the master came, he was thrown to where there's gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
So he did not take care of these people in the way that the master had declared.
Yeah.
So he therefore finds himself in big trouble because of that. So a steward is a person who knows that I have been given responsibility, and this responsibility, I'm doing it on behalf of those who have entrusted to me.
Yes.
So if you bring that down to our context today, the whole issue of stewardship, leadership as stewardship.
Yes.
Because that's the one of the ways that servant leadership or a servant perspective views leadership. That leadership is about stewardship.
Yes.
So think of each and every one of us who is a leader in any context, from the house to the nation.
Yes.
You have been entrusted. If you are a house girl, a house help, you have been entrusted with this house to be a steward and to do whatever it is to make sure that this house, when the owner comes, finds it better than when they left.
Yes.
That is your responsibility.
Mm.
If you are a head of a department, you have been entrusted with that department to take care of it on behalf of whoever is the owner of that business. If you are the CEO, it means you have been entrusted with this business to take care of it on behalf of the shareholders.
Yes.
And it goes on and on. Mm. If you are the president of the country, you have been entrusted with this nation so that you can take care of it, that at the end of the day, you can give an account that that which you entrusted to me, this is what I have done with it. So you see, therefore, that that perspective of leadership as stewardship puts on you the sense of accountability.
Yes.
That one day I'm going to give an account.
Mm.
And therefore, how do I therefore operate? How do I handle the resources that have been given to me?
Mm.
Whether they are human or physical resources that have been entrusted to me. So the perception or the view that I'm a steward.
Yes.
Will determine, therefore, how I handle things, how I handle people, how I handle the organization, how I handle everything.
Yes.
It changes, it turns leadership upside down.
True.
So it is not what people do to me or what do I get out of it. And it is that responsibility that I'm a steward.
Yeah.
And therefore, I need to take care of that which has been entrusted to me in the best way possible. Yes.
So it's more individual driven with the mind that I'm accountable.
Right.
To whoever else who's given me that responsibility. Okay.
That's it. That's it. Think of how that changes leadership.
Completely. Completely. No blame games here.
No blame games.
No saying I couldn't do because. So it's more of you driven and this like is, another person.
It is a personal
responsibility. Yes.
So I think of myself now that I've been entrusted with this, how can I best use whatever it is to make sure that it grows, it is preserved, it is of benefit, and so on and so forth. That is how we view leadership.
Yes.
So it is not what can I get?
No.
How do I benefit? What do I have? No. Yeah.
Actually, the thought in mind is how, when the, for lack of a better word, when the master comes, what account will I give?
Exactly.
Will I be found to be a faithful steward?
Exactly.
Or I'll start giving excuses.
The word faithfulness is a very close relative of stewardship. Because that is the core of stewardship, that you are faithful. When you are faithful with what you have been given, you cannot then eat it.
Let it grow.
It has to grow.
Yes.
It can also not stagnate. And that's why Jesus was very harsh with this one talent man who kept it. So keeping it is not stewardship. Stewardship is ensuring that it grows.
Yes.
It grows. That the little that you have been given.
Yeah.
So that is another perspective of servant leadership.
I'm also thinking, Bishop, just linking it up, because you said there are these two perspectives are neighbors. In the transformational, we said this leader doesn't maintain status quo. And for here, we're talking about stewardship. Also means you can't just maintain. There has to be a change.
Yes.
And this change in this case is growth.
Stewardship has to do with growth, development, and so on.
Yeah.
You cannot be a steward and yet not cause things to grow. Because if it was yours, what would you do?
Work. Do everything I need for it to grow.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's what stewardship means. Stewardship, a steward is a person who has stepped into the place of the owner and is doing what the owner would have done. That's what a steward is.
Yes.
So if this was my business, would I just sit there? I would do whatever is in my ability to do to ensure that it grows. So a steward, therefore, is a person who steps into the space or place of the owner and does everything the owner would have done and more.
Yes.
To make sure that this thing grows. Yes.
Okay.
So you cannot just sit there. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. The other perspective on this or thinking is, because of the desire to steward people, especially now when we're talking about people, is that a steward or a servant leader must be empathetic to the people that they lead.
Talk about that a bit.
Let me talk about it. Empathetic means that part of my stewardship is I listen. I listen to the people. I hear what they are saying. I want to help them so that they can grow. So this requires listening. It requires learning so that I can make the best contribution in the lives of the people that I lead and in the life of the organization that I lead.
Yes.
So I'm constantly listening, learning, hearing, looking for ways and means to make things better. Yes. So a steward cannot just sit there. You are constantly looking at how else can I make this thing grow?
Yes.
How else can I make these people develop? So they are, servant leaders are learners.
Yes.
And listeners. So they continually learn, both externally and internally. You learn from your people, but you also learn from the outside, what people are doing, so that you can bring all this learning into the growth and development of your people or of your organization.
Yes.
It's if you have even say, like for example, we use parenting.
Yes.
If you are a parent, one of the things that is a good parent will do is to keep their ears on the ground, because you want to find out the best things that people are doing for their children.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know,
<yes. laughs>
which are the schools people are taking their children, what courses are good, mm-hmm. and so on and so on. So you always are keeping your ear open to see if there's anything that you can pick that you can take to your children.
Yes.
If you are in a conversation with other adults, with other parents, you are keenly, then you hear something being said, yeah, tell me more about that.
Yes.
How does this work?
Yes.
Why? Because you want to go and take it to your children.
True.
So that they can also benefit from what other children are benefiting.
Mm.
Servant leaders are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You are constantly listening, hearing what are people doing,
yes.
in their organizations.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the latest ideas,
mm-hmm.
that are happening? So you cannot just close your ears and your eyes and you're focused on just what you're doing.
Yes.
Because you may find yourself playing a game that is no longer being played.
Yeah. You are left on the stage.
You are left on the stage.
People moved.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is the learning aspect. Mm. And it is part of stewardship.
Yeah.
That is the stewardship, part of the stewardship responsibility of a leader,
mm.
who sees themselves as a steward and as a servant.
Yes.
Opening your eyes.
Mm.
Let me talk about the next thing that they do is they want to leave a legacy. When it is all said and done, servant leaders want to leave something they'll be remembered for. Not that you're working towards that legacy,
mm-mm.
but that your work has created impact.
Yes.
Mm. Impact is a driver in servant leadership,
mm.
which goes again with the whole issue of maintenance. So
yes.
You are not a maintenance person.
Mm.
So you find Jesus at the end of his time. Two things that speak to this. One is where he is with his disciples, the 12. And he asked them, who do people say that I am? That's an issue of legacy.
Mm.
He wants to hear, have I made an impact in the lives of people?
Yes.
And what is very interesting about that, the answers that the disciples give, is there is no negative that is given.
Mm.
There is no one who says, people say you're a thief. They may be mistaken.
Yes.
But can you imagine some people are saying you're a thief?
Hey, my friend.
Some people are saying you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying you know, those kinds of things.
Yes.
It's none of them. All of them say, some think you are Moses, some people you are Elijah, some people, and all of them are good people.
Yes.
That he's being associated with, John the Baptist.
Mm.
That's now, if some of us want to ask that question, you will be surprised. You know, even if it is not true.
Yes.
But the fact that somebody thinks you are a thief in itself. It may not be true,
yeah.
but have you acted in a manner likely to suggest that you could be a thief?
Yeah.
That is something that servant leaders do not want to leave in their legacy.
Mm.
So it brings the whole question of integrity.
Yes.
The whole question of integrity in leadership.
Mm.
How am I leading, how I'm providing leadership make sure that people who are interacting with me, they see positivity.
Yes.
They see integrity. Mm. They see morality.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
That is what defines my legacy.
Yes.
So if you are exploiting people, if you are mistreating people, if you are doing things that are negative, they may be associated with your name.
Yes.
And a servant leader is a person who works towards his or her name being associated with the right things, with the right perspectives, with the right ideas, associating with good people, and so on and so forth.
Mm.
So because your commitment is to do good,
yes,
to the people.
Mm.
So you find even at Jesus' death, people were mourning for him because this man helped so many people. Why have they killed him? You know,
yes.
If you hear the men who are walking on the road to Emmaus, as they are talking to this person, they are talking among themselves, and a third party appears and say, "What are you people talking about?" And they're like, "You know, you haven't heard. In Jerusalem, there was this good man who was doing so well, but now they killed him."
Yes.
You know.
Mm.
They didn't know that they were talking to Jesus himself, you know.
Yes.
Now imagine if Jesus was walking with these people and they're saying, there's a man who was killed in Jerusalem. The guy was terrible.
Oh, man.
It is so good that they killed him.
Mm.
It would be terrible. So what do people say when you are not there?
Mm.
What do people say when you are not there as a leader? Because that's what integrity is. That's what has been described as integrity. What people say about you when you're not there.
Mm.
What do people say? The last thing I want to say on this matter is related to what I've already said, the moral authority. It's related to the morality, but now we're talking about moral authority.
Yes.
In other words, you have earned the trust. You have earned the place,
yes,
for you to speak into lives of people and for them to accept. That is not always easy. That when you say or make demands of people, they can look back and say, you have a legitimate right to make that demand.
Yes.
Let me use a very simple one. If you tell people, I want you people to be coming on time, I can't tolerate lateness, you actually have the moral authority to say so because you yourself keeps time.
Yes.
Do you see?
Yes.
But if you do not keep time, then you have no moral authority to demand of other people
to keep time.
To keep time. So, as servant leader, what basically this means is that you are a role model.
Yes.
In the things that you expect your team members to do. So you have modeled these practices. So therefore, if you make a demand of us, those things, then it is correct. You are right. We can accept it from you because you have the moral authority.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you don't have, don't ask.
If you don't have, don't ask. It's a good way to put it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bishop. You are on the Leadership Forum right here at Hope FM Listen and Leave. Do you have any question or comment? Talk to us. Our WhatsApp line is 0717-400-555, and we'll be glad to hear from you. You're talking about perspectives of leadership, and today our focus is on servant leadership perspective. Happy Madaraka Day.
So what can we say about Madaraka Day?
What can we say? We are free. I hope we are free first of all, free to live in Christ, that you, your life is well with Christ. That's the best freedom you can ever have. And
yes,
live freely.
If the Son of Man sets you free, then you are free indeed.
Yes.
It's a very important thing, especially for us as a country, to reflect where we have come from.
Yes.
In the last over 60 years, and the freedoms that we enjoy. I know sometimes because of the things that are happening around us, we may not appreciate what actually we have as a people, as a nation, especially when we talk about freedom.
Yes.
Ngugi wa Thiong'o just died
a
few days ago. And these are people who lived in times when there was no freedom. He actually died in the U.S. Why was he in the U.S.? Because he had to flee his country because his way of thinking, his way of writing, the things that he was passionate about could not find space in his country. So he had to flee and go into another country so that he could express himself freely and say the things he wanted to say and do the things that he wanted to do. That just tells you how far we have come now. Some of the things that Ngugi wa Thiong'o was saying in those days, compared to what we are saying today, I mean, it's like, what was the big deal? What was the big deal?
Yes.
You know? Yes. Because now we have such freedom, we can say anything about anyone and anywhere.
And anyhow.
And anyhow. That is a kind of freedom that we have acquired over the last 60 years, which some of the people who died for freedom, if they were to wake up, they would just marvel. They say, what? You can say that and go home and sleep. You can do that. And so there's something in the midst of all that is happening around us that we should celebrate as far as freedoms are concerned.
Yeah.
That we are in a place where you are free to live in any part of this country. You are free to do your business. You are free to talk. You are free to associate. You are free, you know.
Yes.
All those things are guaranteed in our constitution. So as we celebrate the Madaraka, which was celebrated yesterday, I think on a positive side, we can celebrate some of these freedoms that our fathers and forefathers did not know.
Yeah.
Obviously, freedom has no end. So there will always be room for extension, for great latitude. And that's what Kenyans, even today, are crying for, that there should be greater liberties in terms of how we interact with each other, how we do business, how we live, and so on and so forth, how we interact with leadership now that this is a leadership forum. So those freedoms, there's still room for development, for growth. And we can only trust that as we move forward, there will be greater progress in those kinds of freedom, that we can then have a nation where we are free to do whatever we want to do. And I would say, just add a caveat there, that freedom is not absolute. So that your freedom and my freedom should not clash. You should not, as you exercise your freedom, it should not interfere
with your freedom.
With my freedom. Yes.
I'm itching to ask you a question of a current issue, but what I will ask towards the end regarding that.
This is the time.
No. It will digress us from the core.
This is what leadership.
I've taken notes.
This is what leadership is all about. So that kind of freedom, because you see, we have got into this place where in the exercise of our freedom, we are encroaching into other people's freedom. So if you go to the social media, for example, people call each other names.
Actually, that's what I wanted to
ask. Oh, that's what you wanted to ask.
In relation
yes.
to a very current issue about the issue of Tanzania and Kenya.
Yes.
You remember?
Yes, yes.
Wanaharakati.
Yeah.
Ambao wanajimwaya mwaya. And
now, my friend, you have to you have to translate that into a language I can understand.
Oh, Kiswahili si mdomo chako, Bishop. I'm sorry. Why do I keep on doing that?
Mwaya mwaya.
Mwaya mwaya. I think it's one Kenya politician who said, I'm trying to, what politician was referring to by the now Kirinyaga governor who said we don't do it. I'm looking for the word they used. It's like your trotting. You know, and he said, Kenyan, my freedom should not interfere with your freedom.
Exactly.
And here we have the issue of Tanzania, where the leader believes, Kenya, kaeni huko, kameoni freedom kwenyu, pelekeni huko, usijilete, don't bring it here.
Yes.
You know, as we are guarded, we...
This is how we do
our
things.
Freedom. And then here we are Kenyans. When you go online, there are things you laugh about, others you'll cry about.
Yes.
So the question that came to mind is as if Daktari Samia Suluhu is listening, because she's the leader and this began with her, is it right for a leader of her caliber, knowing yes, Tanzania has its own freedom, Kenya its freedom, to respond to just citizens of a nation who you don't even know them, but you feel they are stepping into your freedom and you have to say something about it. The more you say, the more the Kenyans come at you and they create weird things about you. From a leadership point of view, must a leader respond to everything being said about them, their nation, their organization,
yeah,
their family, if you are to break it down to that level?
Your question is answered by Solomon in Proverbs, I think it's in Proverbs, where he said, don't listen to the conversation of your servants, lest you hear them insulting you. You know?
Yeah.
So there's great wisdom there. Once you become a leader, when you take the place of leadership, it is standard operational procedure that people will call you names, whether you are good
or bad.
We talked about the great leader, Jesus Christ. They called him Son of Beelzebub. Mm. He's casting out by the power. Mm. They even killed him. Mm. Yet, if you look at the things that Jesus was doing, which of them would you say was worthy of him being killed? None, really. He was doing good. He was healing the sick, feeding the poor, hungry. I mean, doing all kinds of things that would make the lives of ordinary hustlers, mama mboga,
wana boda boda,
wana boda boda na hao wengine,
wa mitumba,
to become better. Mm. That's what he was about.
Yes.
But what did they do?
Killed him.
They killed him. They killed him. So leadership as stewardship, which is what we were talking about,
yes,
before we took a break, and we continue to talk about leadership as stewardship. It therefore means, therefore, that I take charge, the stewardship first of myself. I steward myself.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
So that I know what to say. I know what not to say. I know in what context to say it and do and all that. So I'm first and foremost a steward of myself. So I ask myself, therefore, if I'm a steward of myself, is this worth saying? Is this worth doing? Of what value or benefit does it bring to the leadership that I offer? And so on. So when a person becomes a steward of themselves, then naturally they will know what they can and what they cannot do in any given situation.
Despite the pressure from the people
The pressure. I have entered into the realm of what we call self-leadership.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is self-stewardship. And in self-leadership, there's something called personal mastery. Personal mastery means that you take charge of yourself.
Yes.
You take charge of your emotions. You take charge of your actions. You take charge of your thoughts. All those things. So if a thought is coming into my mind, I take charge of it so that it doesn't dictate what I do.
Yes.
I decide what to do with that thought.
Yes.
When an emotion is arising in my heart, I take charge of it. Then I see how to direct it and on what to direct it. When a situation comes in my way, I take charge of myself, how to respond to that situation. So that is what makes a self-leader. It's called personal mastery. You are the master of yourself. So in the stewardship leadership that we are talking about, you are first a steward of yourself. So you master yourself. So you will then decide when you come to a situation, what is the best thing to do in this situation? And you may find that perhaps nothing. So the best thing is to keep silent.
Yeah.
That may be the conclusion you arrive at if you have mastered yourself.
Yes.
Perhaps say something, and that something is a carefully thought through, carefully worded something that you know you will add value to what you are doing or saying. That is what stewardship that we talked about earlier is all about. Because remember, this servant leadership, being a stewardship responsibility, I'm saying that because I'm responsible for whatever has been entrusted to me, if I say this, I could destroy that which I've been given to take care of.
Yes.
If I do this, I could destroy that which I've been entrusted to me. So my responsibility as a steward constrains me, therefore, on what I can do and what I cannot do.
Yes.
What I can say and what I cannot say. Who I associate and who I don't associate with.
Yes.
All those things are driven by my stewardship responsibility. I've given you perhaps a philosophical answer, but
a safe one.
No, I've not intended it to be safe. I'm just being a steward.
Your personal mastery, Bishop.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope it makes sense.
Yes, it does. It still begins with me as a leader, where I'm able to sit down and make a choice and check, okay, this is what the world is saying. So what will be the impact of the emotions I'm feeling, the thoughts I'm having, how I feel like responding, then make a choice.
Right.
No, I'll not do that.
Exactly.
Because the ultimate impact of what I want to create will be jeopardized. if I just tell the people how I'm feeling.
Exactly. Mm. So now bring it back to our conversation, which you have just started, out of the question of Madaraka and the freedom. And I was just saying that freedom is not absolute.
Yes.
And therefore, in the same context of what we have just said, it means that that freedom is a resource.
Yes.
Just like any other resource that has been granted to me.
Mm.
I therefore should use it for the benefit of those people that are around me.
Yes.
And that's where I was saying, my freedom then should not infringe on your freedom.
Yes.
I was just reading in the Deuteronomy, among the laws that God gave to Moses to tell the people. And one of them that was very serious is that you should not move the boundary of your neighbor. You know, you shall not move the boundary of your neighbor because God himself will punish you for it.
Yes.
Not just your neighbor. Okay. So the stone boundaries that were used to demarcate, you know, in those days, they put stones to demarcate the boundaries. And God is saying, you should not move those boundaries to enlarge your territory at my expense.
Yes.
Do you see?
Yes.
So if we bring it into this particular situation, it means that in your exercising your freedom, you should not move your boundary to then enlarge your freedom at my expense. Do you see?
Yes.
God will then
deal with
you, you know, accordingly. Because your freedom has a boundary, and there are boundary stones that have been placed.
Yes.
If you move them, you are infringing.
Mm.
So part of my stewardship responsibility is to exercise my freedom in a way that does not move those boundaries,
yes.
In a way that does not infringe on your own personal rights. Mm. If I am your neighbor and I have the freedom to play my music the loudest I can or I want, to the latest I want, okay?
Yes.
That is my freedom.
Mm. It's my house.
It is my house. But now I recognize that I have a neighbor who may want to sleep.
Mm.
And therefore, if I play music up to 2 a.m., they may not sleep.
Yes.
Especially if I play it at the loudest. So it is my stewardship responsibility not to move the boundaries of your sleep. So that when you normally sleep, if you normally sleep at 10, I don't keep you awake until 2 a.m. because I'm enjoying my freedom.
Yeah.
It is my house. It is my music. I bought with my own money, you know, and I'm playing it in my house.
Mm.
But that then infringes on your freedom.
Yes.
And so it's not good stewardship.
Mm.
It is not good servant leadership. For you to do that.
Mm.
That's how I would look at it. So as we enjoy our freedoms in 2025, after 60 something years of freedom, let's keep in mind, freedom is not absolute.
Yes.
It is not absolute.
Mm.
You cannot use freedom to insult me. You cannot use freedom to interfere with my peace.
Mm.
You cannot use freedom to steal my things.
Yes.
You cannot use freedom, you know, it's not absolute.
Yes.
Stewardship requires that we manage that freedom.
Okay.
Yep.
Sour.
Long story.
See, don't push the boundary.
God will see you.
Yes. And deal with you.
Okay. If you push the boundaries.
Yes.
Interestingly, the next thing I wanted to say has to do with that.
Yeah.
That servant leadership also sees leadership as building community. So servant leadership does not, a servant perspective to leadership does not divide or isolate people, but tries to bring them to into community, bring them into teams, bring them to work together, to live in harmony. That is part of the perspective of servanthood. So when I am in a place, whether it is a community, is a family, is a neighborhood, is an organization, my part of my great responsibility is to bring people together. Bring people together. So in line with what we are just talking about, does what you do scatter, divide people or bring people together? And when we look at some of the freedoms that we are exercising today, is they are divisive. They are divisive. So I just need to think through, is what I'm doing, saying, or thinking bringing harmony, bringing unity, bringing togetherness, or is it scattering? Is it isolating individuals or peoples? That is a critical factor of servant leadership. So a servant leader, therefore, cultivates a sense of belonging, a shared purpose, a common vision, and encourages collaboration and cohesion within the team, within the group. That is a critical a critical factor in a servant perspective to leadership. You cannot say you are a servant leader and you bring chaos, disharmony among your team members. No. The last prayer that Jesus made in part of his stewardship was that they may be one. They may be one. And he even gave, as a steward, gave an account, and he said, all the people you gave me, I have kept them together, except the one person who had to do what he did. So it is part of our stewardship responsibility of a servant leader to bring harmony, bring people together in the leadership that you provide. Foresight is another factor. A servant leader, a servant perspective, thinks about the future. Where do I want to take my people? Where do I want to take my organization? Where do I want to take the various programs that I'm engaged in? And what then do I need to do in order for us to get to that place? So foresight, which is also called vision, is a critical factor in a servant perspective, because you do not want to stagnate people. You want people to grow. And so part of what will give them impetus, part of what will give people the desire and hope, which is a, an inspirational thing in leadership, is when you paint the picture of the future. And again, because we are using Jesus as an example, that is one of the things he constantly talked about, the kingdom which is coming. And how it shall be like. So that he builds this hope. The last thing he told his disciples when he was with them is that he's going away, but he's going to build some mansions. You know? And when they are ready, I'm coming for you. So don't worry. I'm coming for you. in my father's house, there are many mansions. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Mm. It's all part of giving people something to live for, a hope to anchor their lives on, and that is the responsibility or a factor in servant leadership.
Yes.
You find people who are call themselves leaders, but when you're working with them or when you're serving with them, even if you are a dreamer, a very hopeful person, you soon find that you are very pessimistic. You don't see anything good. When you look at the horizon, it is very dark, you know? Because the only thing that this person keeps talking about is how bad things are and how things are going to be terrible. And so on. So your vision is darkened, your hope is diminished. That is not leadership. A good leader must inspire, must give you hope, even though you are going through challenges and difficulties. There's something to live for.
Yes.
There's something to hope for.
Mm-hmm.
That is what servant leadership, a servant perspective is of leadership. That I don't dampen your spirit and kill your hope and kill your ambitions and dreams. You tell me of this dream that you have of when this, those things don't work.
Not here.
Those are pie in the sky. I've seen so many people. They come, they have all these dreams and so on. It never gets to anything. Mm. I've seen so many people. It doesn't work. So, but if you want to just keep dreaming,
I'll be waiting for you.
I'll be waiting for you here when you come.
When you wake
down.
Up.
So that kind of a person is terrible.
A dangerous person.
Very dangerous person. Mm. So good leaders inspire hope.
Yes.
Not false hope. Mm-mm. But genuine hope built on reality.
Yes.
And they help you to see how things can be better and how you can better yourself and how you can try new things and get into new spaces and learn new skills and so on. And that's what causes you to grow and get empowered.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
As a leader.
Now I've remembered. And I was just starting my media career and... got an opportunity to serve in a small organization where by then we were being paid, I think, $1,500 a salary, which never came. I was sharing with a friend of mine and was saying, wow, I used to wake up early in the morning to go to work and I loved what I was doing very much. Never looked at the pay because the leader was very inspirational and painted the picture. One day, Tutatoka Hapa, it's going to be big, massive. Let's keep working. So I agree with you that if the leader inspires hope and sells the vision where we are going, nothing will stop.
True.
The members and the followers.
True.
From joining in that bus and heading towards the vision.
True.
Yes.
True. Mm. And that's what we should all do in whichever space we find ourselves.
Yeah.
Sad to say, but even for us as parents, sometimes we are vision killers for our children.
That's tough. That sounds bad and tough, eh? Talk to us. I've moved closer.
You know, there are parents who a child comes and says, you know, I'm thinking of this, I'm dreaming of that. And then the first thing is, where will the money come from?
Where?
Or who gave you that idea? Or that's impossible. You know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So the excitement that the child had suddenly is killed and is dead. And it's unfortunate, but we do that as parents all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. There are some very good parents who, on the other hand, are very inspirational
yes.
to their children. They are dream builders. I don't know whether you have heard this story of this man who went to school, and they did a maths exam, and he got 10%. So he came, and the grandmother, he was living with the grandmother, so they came back and told the grandmother, I have got 10%. Well, 1 out of 10. So the grandmother said, oh, that's very good. It means next time you'll get 3 out of 10.
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And that's just inspired, because the normal reaction is, how could you get 1 out of 10?
Unalala when teaching.
Yeah. So the inspiration that we give to our children, and I'm talking to myself as a parent also, is part of this servant leadership. Because that's where it starts.
Yes.
It starts at home.
Yes.
That you are inspirational. And if you find children who grew up under that kind of parental leadership, many of them are likewise
yes.
in their places of leadership. They are also very inspirational. They see the potential in individuals. They inspire you to try better and to do better in whatever you are doing.
Yes.
They are hopeful in the what they see in you. But people who have been whose dreams have been killed and have had to go through sheer hard work to get to where they get, you hear statements like, you must work, you don't know how I got to where I got. These things are not easy.
They don't come in a silver platter.
They don't come in a silver platter, you know.
Yeah.
I had to work so hard for me to get where I've got. Mm. So they want you to suffer the same suffering that they went through.
Yes.
And it's just a projection of where they came from.
Yes.
So that's why I say sometimes the way we practice leadership has a lot to do with what we observed yes. or experienced yes. in the environments that we have experienced leadership.
Mm.
And that shapes how we therefore go out there and treat others or do or provide leadership.
Mm.
But we can change. We can have a different perspective so that we are more empowering in the way we provide leadership for other people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Powerful. I think the way you're connecting it, Bishop, to a child growing up and how parents model
yes.
to this child being a CEO is very powerful, because most of us believe, you know, the old age question, leaders are made or leaders are born. But the way a child is brought up will determine
yes.
either how they'll excel in leadership position or they'll fail.
Right.
Mm.
So because that's the role modeling
yeah.
that they have received. And therefore they think, in fact, if you bring it back home again, when they become husbands or wives, that's how they conduct their husbandry. Oh no, husbandry is a different thing.
Bishop, animal husbandry.
Husbandry is a different thing.
Yeah.
That's how they practice their what?
Being a husband or being a wife.
Being a wife. There's no one word. Yes.
Being a spouse. One word is spouse.
Yes. So you find that what they saw in their parents is that what they bring in their own home.
Yes.
So that they now exercise the same. Of course, there are times when it flips. There are some people who flip on the other side and they say, I suffered too much under my parents. My children are not going to
suffer.
Going to suffer.
Yes.
So now they pamper their children to suffocation. They are smothered until they die.
Yes.
Because you don't want your children to go through what you went through.
Mm.
So you can't discipline them. You can't talk to them. You can't deny them what they ask. Anything they ask for, you give. Because for you, you are denied. So it can go either way. And either way is not good.
Okay.
Yeah. If you bring the harshness that you experience into your own family, or you convert that now because things were so tough for you, now you are just, everything goes. Total freedom.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever you want, go ahead. Go ahead, because I suffered too much. You can't.
And I've worked hard to give you a good life.
Yeah, so they say both will affect the children.
Okay.
Simply because you are bringing what you experienced into this leadership space.
Okay.
I think the final thing I want to say is the whole idea of the servant perspective to leadership is, can I say, conceptualization. Thinking of balancing realities with the envisioned future. You see, we talked about the possibilities.
Yes.
That a leader thinks about the future possibilities, the dreams, the aspirations.
Mm.
But that leader must also think about the realities that we face currently.
Yes.
How do we balance that dream with this reality? Good servant leaders are people who are able to do that.
Yes.
So yes, this is where we want to go, but no, this is where we are. So how do we marry the two in order for us to get where we want to get? That ability to bring that balance helps then the team members to be pragmatic, practical, real.
Yes.
So you are not building castles in the air. You know, the dream keeps us inspired, hopeful, working hard towards that ultimate. But the reality of today also helps us to see how do we creatively deal with the current situation so that we can get there eventually. It's a very critical thing in servant leadership.
Yes.
And again, you find it in Jesus. He constantly drew his members back to on earth, back to reality, so that they understand that these things will not come once. It will not be realized now and here. So he told them how in this world you'll have persecution.
Yes.
You're going to have trouble. So that it is not like, because you are children of heaven, everything is going to be new. No. The reality is that we are living in an evil world where evil still reigns. And therefore, even as we pursue the things of the kingdom, we are also likely to be faced with the challenges and just realities of the evil world that we are living in. A good leader must bring that sobriety to their team members. This is where we want to go, but it's the reality we face. And therefore, we can work together. How do we navigate these realities that are here so that we can achieve our ultimate objectives, dreams and visions?
Yes.
That sobriety really helps to build a very solid team.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to build a very resilient team rather than people who are just dreamers.
Yes.
Building pie in the sky. Because those kinds of people, it means that if they meet the very first obstacle, they give up.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
This thing will not work,
mm.
you know, that I knew it can't work and so on.
Yes.
But if you have told them that this is the reality we are facing, but this is where we are going,
mm.
then we work together towards seeing how do we overcome the situation.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Very interesting. I see time is running out, but I've just been thinking, Bishop, for this question, we could wrap it up with this one. On servant leadership in the church circles. Because church circles, we have leaders there. The bishops, the archbishops, the right reverends, and the rest.
And the very most right.
And the overseers and all that. And what we are observing of late, where we've said servant leadership is about me, begins with me, serving others and purposing to leave a legacy and impact. It's not about others serving me. And you're seeing where we have churches where this senior clergy, they really want to be served. So many bodyguards around them, you know, security tight, can't access this leader. And yet I'm a simple member down there. For me to access my pastor or my bishop, it becomes really hard. Why? There is a big wall. And yet Christ has given us a good example on how we need to be servant leaders. Could you speak to fellow clergy?
As you're saying that, a very strange thought has come to mind.
Yes.
That the leaders you're describing, the woman with the issue of blood would have died because they would not access to touch the hem.
Where?
Of his garment.
Mafuta.
But Jesus was so with the people that this woman could squeeze in and touch the hem of his garment. For us, our garments are so guarded that you cannot reach them to touch those garments. We can sell you a handkerchief to go and touch.
Or a broom.
Or a broom
mm.
to go and sweep. It is it is very unfortunate for us as clergy that we have got to that place. We have got to the place where we preach servant leadership, we talk about Jesus as a servant and all those good things. But it all boils again down to what we have been saying about our perspectives to leadership. So that I can be talking about servant leadership, but in reality, this is how I see leadership. It's a leadership is about being served, about getting the best, and everybody is down there. You are to serve me. You are to give me. You are to serve, to pamper me, to protect me, and so on and so forth. So that is how, in my mind, I see leadership.
Mm.
But when I preach servant leadership. But it's just the word. It is not the reality. So I would really plead with my fellow colleagues in the church circles. We are the ones to set examples. We are the ones to demonstrate what servant leadership is all about. And especially for us who are in the Pentecostal circles, we have messed it up. And I'm one of the Pentecostal bishops.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say this confidently, that we in the Pentecostal circles, we have totally messed up this thing called servant leadership. We are what God told Ezekiel and Jeremiah.
Mm.
We eat our sheep.
Oh.
It is true. It is true. So
sad.
You have not helped the weak. That's what Jesus, what God told Ezekiel, have not bound the weak, the lame, the poor. We are not accessible. And when we are accessible, it is to get the wool and to get the meat and all that from our sheep, rather than to serve the people. So my prayer is that in our discussion here, if there is anybody who is listening, it can help us to change, to transform, so that we can begin to serve those people who have been entrusted to us as stewards, because one day we'll give an account to the one who sent us.
Can pray.
I pray?
Yes, please.
Lord, we thank you for the time you gave us to discuss matters leadership on this forum. Today we are discussing a matter that is demonstrated by you. Servant leadership. You gave us that example of how you are with the people, served them, helped them, bound those who are weak, those who are hurt, and you provided for those who are hungry, and so on and so forth. You washed the feet of your followers, your disciples. It is not an easy thing, because we are living in a context where leadership is about being served. Leadership is about being given. Leadership is about occupying the bigger spaces, sitting at the high table. Leadership is about being first, being at the front. That is what we are used to. And we have brought it even in church, Lord, and we can only ask for your forgiveness.
Forgive us, Lord.
Forgive us for that time we have taken advantage of your people and have not demonstrated servant leadership. Help us, O God. So this is our prayer that we make before you. And if there's anybody who has been hurt in the process of our providing leadership, we ask for your forgiveness. Help us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you for impacting us. We call it a day right there on the Leadership Forum. Remember to catch a repeat of this program right here at Top FM on Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and anytime at the Hope FM podcast on www.hopemediakenya.org. My name is Grace Motiso. I live with this reflection that Bishop has said, as a leader, not only in church circles, how accessible is your garment? Will your staff die because you're not accessible? Security and all that. Tafakari hayo. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership.
The Leadership Forum.
Discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.